Greetings in the Lord. Overcomers.ca, The New Jerusalem, Chapter 67, the first of 10 chapters concerning the Kingdom of God, Preparing Creation. Scriptures. And he hath violently taken away his tabernacle, as if it were a garden. He hath destroyed his places of the assembly. The Lord hath caused the solemn feasts and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion, and hath despised in the indignation of his anger the king and the priest. The Lord has cast off his altar. He has abhorred his sanctuary. He has given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord, as in the day of a solemn feast. The Lord hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He hath not withdrawn his hand from destroying. Therefore he made the rampart and the walls to lament. They languished together. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit upon the ground and keep silence. They have cast up dust upon their heads. They have girded themselves with sackcloth. The virgins of Jerusalem hang down their heads to the ground. Mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, "Where is corn and wine?" When they swooned as the wounded in the streets of the city, when their soul was poured out unto their mother's bosom, "What thing shall I take to witness for thee? What thing shall I liken to thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I equal to thee, that I may comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion? For thy breach is like the sea. Who can heal thee? Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee. They have not discovered thine iniquity, to turn away thy captivity. But I have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, 'Is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth?' All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. They hiss and gnash the teeth. They say, 'We have swallowed her up. Certainly this is the day we looked for. We have found it, and we have seen it.' The Lord hath done that which he had devised. He had fulfilled his word that he had commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down and hath not pitied. He hath caused thine enemy to rejoice over thee. He hath set up the horn of thine adversaries. Their heart cried unto the Lord. O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river, day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands towards him for the life of thy young children, that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the women eat the fruit and children of a span long? Shall the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? The young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the day of thine anger. Thou hast killed, and not pitied. Thou hast called, as in a solemn day, my terrors round about, so that in the day of the Lord's anger none escaped, nor remained. Those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed. Lamentations chapter 2, verses 6 to 22. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down every one by the sword of his brother. And that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Haggai chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power, and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of the testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. Revelation 11, verses 14 to 19. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. End Scripture. Three visions. First vision. I beheld then the apostles and prophets who were called with a peculiar calling, and who were but very few, call forth those who overcame, to form them into columns by sevens, even a great and a mighty army. As those apostles and prophets spoke instruction and prophecy to the company of overcomers, they came together in perfect rank and order into a marching assembly. Round about them was swirling as wind the Spirit of God. Once the army came together, the Spirit of God that was as wind about them and about their feet came upon them and in them, and they were all glorified in company together, the great and the mighty army of the Lord. And first vision. Second vision. As I beheld the area of the throne, I saw that there was a great billowing fire which enfolded in upon itself. The fire was set in such a way that the flames of the fire continued forth through the entrance to the throne and out to the courts of the city in a molten flow. In the midst of the fire was a throne set, and one who sat upon the throne, even the Ancient of Days, the Lord God Almighty. At his right hand stood that great shepherd of the sheep, even the Lamb of God, as he had been slain, bearing the marks of crucifixion upon his risen, glorified body. Round about the throne were many smaller thrones set, and a mighty choir, and voices, and music, and much activity and worship before the throne set in the midst of the fire. I saw also in the courts every soul that had ever been born of flesh. Each soul coming across the courts of the city through the molten flames of fire, each one in their own order, each one coming to be presented to the Ancient of Days who did sit upon the throne. As they came forward, I saw that across from where I was stood two angels which had a large book opened, which was the book of the life of the Lamb. Each name that was coming was written in the book. However, I saw that the angels would blot out each name that was in the book. As their names were blotted out, they who would come, and this was all the number of the populace of humanity, was disqualified to come before the Ancient of Days due to defilement and iniquity and impurity. I saw the blotting out of the names. Masked, M-A-S-K-E-D, masked now with the blackened ink. Then I beheld the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being sprinkled upon each blot, and the blot was totally erased, revealing the hidden name, thus freeing each one to come unto the Ancient of Days upon the throne in full acceptance and everlasting salvation, even into the kingdom of God. So great was the procession, and boundless and unstoppable was the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus that redeemed each one and brought each one to eternal life, each one in order. And second vision. Third vision. In my sight was a great and a high mountain, vast in its size, larger than any mountain upon the face of the earth. The mountain was built of very strong granite and was very high and snow-capped, great in scope and size. I saw at the base of the mountain the masses of men who had assembled this mountain over two eons of time, by which men had built up again a name for themselves and recorded for themselves their names upon the hard granite stone of this mountain. Men had carnally built this large mountain, and they did not have any fear of God, or of his kingdom, or of his judgments. I saw God above the mountain in the air, looking down upon the mountain that man had built as a great monument to his carnal wisdom. The mountain displeased God. He reached forth his spirit and began to shake the mountain from the top to the bottom, even to the very foundations of the granite rock which structured it. As God began to shake the mountain, certain men who were leaders of the others and oppressed the others to build the mountain brought the others into slavery to their carnal ambition to preserve the mountain. As the mountain was shaken, it began to break apart, first from the top. The enslaved men would then try to prevent the cracking and breaking of the mountain by holding it together with their hands to stop the shaking. Then I saw God's wrath and fury come up into his face, and he shook the mountain even more. Large cracks began to break off rocks in large pieces, which rolled down the sides of the mountain, crushing the slaves under them, causing many men to be killed and many men to perish under the rolling rocks from the top of the mountain. It was given to me by the Spirit of God that this is a present vision and it is a present time revelation. This is happening even at this time in world history. The evidence of this will now become apparent in the world of men and their politics, economies, and religious efforts. And third vision. And visions. In the book of Revelation, there are several areas where perfection of persons is not found. In each instance, the perfect holiness needed for completion in Christ and in the kingdom of God is shown as progressive through processings. It is not an automatic thing, but a working of the Lord in us to bring repentance and obedience to the faith by the faith of Him who is calling. There are several areas listed in the book which are but stepping stones to the greater order of things, because the Lord works progressively with His creation. These things are paramount to His motive and part of His plan to bring restoration to all things. Some things that proceed on to perfection, and I have a list here of 13 things. Some things that proceed on to perfection. Number one, the church at Ephesus left their first love and were needing to repent and come back into the first works. They eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God if they overcome. Some things that need to proceed on to perfection. Number two, the church of Smyrna. To be tribulated in prison until they die, then the crown of life. They will not be hurt of the second death if they overcome. Three, the church of Pergamos. They live where Satan's seat is, and yet they hold fast to the Lord's name and do not deny His faith. They hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which the Lord hates. Have in their midst those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before Israel, and to teach them to eat things offered unto idols, and to commit fornication. If they overcome, they receive hidden manna and a white stone with a name written therein which no man knows, save he that receives it. 4. The church of Thyatira. They overcome the works of Jezebel, who caused Israel to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Jezebel and her children Christ kills with death. She repents not and abides in the depths of Satan. They that overcome this are given power over the nations, which they will bear rule over with a rod of iron, and Christ Jesus will give them the morning star. 5. The Church of Sardis. They are found with imperfect works before God. They are dead, yet alive, and that which is alive and ready to die. Repentance of dead works is the key, and holding fast to that which they have received is the command. If they overcome, they are given a white garment and their names are not blotted out of the book of the life of the Lamb. 6. The Church of Philadelphia. They live in the midst of the synagogue of Satan and stay faithful to the name of the Lord. Because they have kept the word of His patience, the Lord will also keep them from the hour of temptation that is coming to try the earth. If they overcome, they are made pillars in the temple of God, and they will be seen as strong ones in glorified bodies when He manifests His sons and daughters. Upon them is written the name of God and the name of the city of God, which is the New Jerusalem, which will settle upon the earth. 7. The Church of the Laodiceans. Neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. A picture of the complacency of our day, filled with the facade of wealth and riches, but are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. If one repents, they purchase gold, white raiment, eye salve, and they are rebuked and chastised. If they overcome, they sup with the Lord, and they are granted the right to sit with the Lord upon the throne. 8. The millennial reign of Christ is not the time of perfection for the populace of the earth. It is the dominion of Christ to reign over the world until they are educated as to the righteous, holy standard that God requires. The only ones in perfection during this time will be they who were part of the first resurrection, the overcomers who came into perfection while the rest of the world went into great apostasy and iniquity. 9. The four horsemen of the apocalypse, the first four seals. These work perfectly to judge the inhabitants of the earth to conquer, create wars, create inflation and want, and to kill with death. These work with those in the world who are not part of the first resurrection and who are yet building for self in the world. The first four horsemen were the first of the seals to be opened by Christ, who is found worthy to take the book out of the right hand of God. 10. The fifth seal. Under the altar, those who were slain for the word of God and for the testimony they held. They are told to be patient, continued processing, until the rest of their brethren are also slain. The sixth seal. There is a great earthquake. The sun becomes black and the moon becomes as blood, and the stars fall from the heavens. The systems of men cease to give light. The entire earth and all therein are moved out of place, and men hide themselves and pray for the rocks to fall on them, to hide them from the face of the Lord who does come to judge. 12. The seventh seal. Silence in heaven for the space of half an hour, so that the clarion calls of the trumpets can be heard sounding from the seven angels, all of which bring to a conclusion the tribulation that the world will endure at this time. And 13, the two witnesses. Their testimony torments the inhabitants of the earth, and they are bearing witness to the testimony of Christ by their passion. They are, however, an imperfect ministry and are slain in the same place that the Lord was crucified. From there they come to perfection when they are raised from the dead and are caught up to the throne of God. Now we have come to the portion of our study of the New Jerusalem where we enter by the gates into the city to behold certain elements which all denote healing from imperfection. This healing is denoted by the rivers of the waters of life, the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of the Lord, and the 12 fruits that bear their fruits in seasons in the midst of the city. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, because the nations, when they come to this point, will need to be healed of their impartiality, in-partness, that once held them. The peoples who come there will find in the paradise they enter the throne of God and the Lamb, and might I add, those also who overcame. These shall have the name of the Lord written in their foreheads, brackets, renewed and recreated mind, the mind of Christ. It is also to be noted that as people assemble in the midst of the paradise of the Lord, that there are still those who are going through perfection in the fires of the Lord as they approach the holy city. The Lord has ordained that all will come into this city, but all will come in absolute holiness, with no defilement of this present fallen world. The world and all that is in it must completely pass away, and not only this world, but the heavens themselves shall pass away with a great noise. I find it interesting that the heaven we long for is also a heaven that is rife with war between angel factions. The movement and cessation of starlight, the tempered heat of the fire of the seven spirits of God to remake it, heaven is also made anew. The only promise we have that perfection is come is when God himself says, "Behold, I make all things new," Revelation 21 and verse 5. The only place I see that perfection and holiness is finally made for creation and for the multitudes of humanity. Once the Lord declares it, so shall it be. Until then, we must resist anything that says we have arrived and are in that perfect place of perfection. We are moving to that place, but we are not at that place. This is part of what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, that it is the mystery of the faith. It is this mystery which will be completed and fulfilled as one enters this place of all things being made new. Far too much emphasis is being made in this day of who we are in Christ, without balancing that with the mystery of the faith, which must also be completed. Both need to work together for obedience unto the Lord to be fulfilled. So it is that we will now enter this city and behold the final touches, which shall be to finish the creation of God in absolutely pure holiness, with no taint or remembrance of this present life or world or fallen condition that set creation into this bondage of corruption. Come with me now as we enter by the gates, even to this absolute and complete purity of holiness. To be continued, Kenneth B. Fisher.